We want to thank you for listening today. This audio sermon is a ministry of Faith Baptist Church, a place where you belong. Now let's listen as Pastor Todd Adams brings a message of truth from God's Word.
What a tremendous time of worship. Amen. I was kind of hoping we'd keep going. We will when we get to heaven. Amen. Amen. Amen in the balcony. You guys with us up there? Say amen in the balcony. All right, there we go. All right. Go to Colossians 3 today. Colossians 3. The real truth about heaven. The real truth about heaven. A Sunday school teacher was teaching her class one day of young students, and she was asking her students, she said, "What do I need to do to go to heaven?" They were all looking at her, wide-eyed, and waiting for her to say something. And she said, "I know, class." She said, "If I do a bunch of good deeds, then I'll go to heaven." "No," they shouted. "That's not it." Then she said, "I know, class." She said, "I just have to be really, really good." And again, what did the class all say? "No, that's not right." So then she said, "I know. I know exactly what I have to do to go to heaven." She said, "I have to be baptized to go to heaven. Is that right, class?" And what do you think all the class said? "No." So then she said, "What is it then that I have to do to go to heaven?" Silence. And some little boy stands up and he goes, "You have to die first, then you can go to heaven." He's right, right? I've entitled this series, "The Real Truth About Heaven." Not a hallucination or a dream about heaven. Not an account about heaven from people who supposedly died and came back and saw a white light. Not what you think heaven is based on some book written by somebody who's probably not even going there themselves, but are making a quick buck off of a bunch of gullible Christians who are reading it. Okay? Let's learn the real truth about heaven. There is a lot of talk about this subject. And I want us to know that God's Word has all the answers we need about heaven. Amen? You believe that? Say amen. Amen. Friends, everything we need to know, everything that God intended us to learn and understand about heaven for now is found in this book. We don't need to look or listen or believe any other so-called truths or accounts about heaven. Okay? We have all we need to know in God's Word. Do you believe that? Everything God wants us to know about it. By the way, why in the world would we want to spend our time and our money reading about somebody else's account about heaven when we can read about the Creator, okay? The one who designed heaven, who set the whole thing up and explains to us what it's actually going to be like. We're going to spend several weeks talking about heaven. You're like, "How long is several weeks?" Till we're done. That's how long it is till we're done, okay? And what it's going to be like, and who's going to be there, and then this new heaven and new earth. And then as we approach Christmas, we're going to shift our focus from heaven to heaven's greatest gift ever given, Jesus. We're going to spend time this Christmas season talking about Jesus, and the sermon series for Christmas will be Jesus, the true joy of Christmas. You excited about Christmas? Amen. You excited about heaven? Heaven brings a lot of thoughts to our mind. It means different things to many people. For some people, if you ask them about heaven, they might describe an event or a place or something that they did. For others, they might describe a feeling. For example, they might say, "The first time I saw her, I was in heaven." How many of you remember that? Hopefully it's still heaven now. Just say amen. You don't want to go home in bad shape today, okay? She can lean over here. "You still think it's heaven?" "Yes, baby, it's heaven. It's heaven every day." He will say, "I'm in heaven when I'm with you." Or, "This food tastes so good, it is what? Heavenly." These are phrases and thousands of others that don't need a lot of explanation. We get it when somebody says it's heavenly. There are a lot of songs written about heaven. Many hymn writers wrote a lot of songs about heaven. Christian songwriters have been doing it for years. We sang one this morning. What was the song we sang this morning? When we all get to heaven. I hope you're going to heaven, okay? Hope you're going to heaven. We sing songs like, Heaven Came Down and Glory Filled My Soul. What a day that will be. When the roll is called up yonder. I think a southerner wrote that song. In the sweet by and by. I got a mansion over the hilltop. Beulah Land. I could go on and on and on and on. Okay? There's newer songs about heaven. There will come a day. I can only imagine. The Revelation song. And I could go on and on about newer songs that have been written. Not all songs written about heaven are Christian. You guys know that, right? Even lost people write about heaven and songs about heaven. They don't always even use the word heaven in the sentence, but that's what they're referring to. There's an old classic song. Some of you will know it immediately. It was written by a guy, or sung by a guy, I guess I should say, Frank Sinatra. He wrote a little song called I'm in Heaven. How many of you know that song? I'm in heaven when I'm out together dancing, what? Cheek to cheek. Some of you seniors are like, oh, I love that song. I'm in heaven. How many of you know that song, right? Yeah, I'm not singing it for you. Okay, don't get confused here, all right? It's not happening. For Ray Charles, Georgia was on his mind, right? Georgia, whoever she was, or maybe he was singing about the state, I doubt it. I think he was actually singing about his sweetheart, Georgia, who was on his mind. Some of you are thinking about other songs that have the word heaven in it. And I'm not referencing any of them because we're in church, all right? So we're not going to go there, but heaven. You know, it's interesting to me as I've been spending weeks on this. People want and long for a place, a feeling, an experience, a moment that is far better than anything they could ever imagine. And heaven is the word used to describe that by people. He said, what's the best feeling you're so is heavenly? Because deep in the heart of people, deep in their soul, they want to experience heaven. People yearn for this. They long for this. They want this experience to happen. Deep within the core of people, there is a longing for something better. Tell me there's got to be something. This cannot be as good as it gets, Pastor. When I look around this world, tell me there's something better. Most people want to believe in a place that is peaceful and eternal. A place of rest where they can go and rest peacefully. I mean, it's better than thinking about the alternative. And people want to know somehow in their heart, I want to believe in heaven. And even the strongest atheist, even the most difficult person sitting here right now who's like, I don't care about heaven. Let me tell you, you will when you're facing death. Take it from a guy who faces people's families and talks to people who is dealing with the possibility of death closing in on them quickly. They're not talking about this life anymore. They're talking about heaven. They're talking about when I cross over from this life, when I leave this world, what's going to happen to me? The word heaven is used over 550 times in the Bible. And we're looking at every one of those passages this morning. I'm just kidding. We have a second service. You know that, right? And if you fall asleep, we're going to start turning, okay? So we're not looking them all up today, but what we're going to do today is a little bit different. We're going to take a little bit of a different approach as we start this series off on heaven. And while it's true that people are longing and looking for heaven, most people are totally unaware of what that longing in their life is really all about. What is that? What is that yearning for something better? You're sitting here and you're wanting something. You're wanting the next job, the next promotion, the next house, the next vacation, whatever it is. And you get that and you're still empty. Even as a believer, you know, I have Jesus, you know, I have everything I need. Yes, but you know what I'm talking about. There's still that sense of, I want something else. Most people can't put their finger on what that longing is. And so sadly, they try to fill that longing with, write this down, not in your handout, instant gratification. What can I get that's going to bring me immediate happiness? Right this second. I want instant gratification. I don't want to wait. I want to be happy when? Now. Right now. And they try to get instant gratification to get them through whatever they're dealing with, only to end up empty and longing for something else. Here's what we need to realize, okay? Again, not in your handout, but you might want to write this down. Heaven is delayed gratification. Heaven is delayed gratification. Right? And the problem we have is we should be longing and yearning, and we should see life through the lens of Scripture. But what we have to remember is heaven is never, ever going to be found in this life. Heaven is never, ever going to be found in this life. Look to your neighbor and say, you're not going to find heaven down here. Some of you right now just broke your spouse's heart. You're like, I thought I was heaven to you. You say, Pastor just told me you're not, so I'm just saying what he said. Heaven's not found here on earth. And we think, well, you know, this is the best thing for me, being here on earth. This is heaven to me. It's not. It's not. Some of us are trying to replicate heaven. You know what some of us are trying to do? We're trying to create our own little heaven. That's why we spend our money on stupid stuff. We waste our time, we waste our effort, we waste our energy. We're trying to create this perfect little environment, this perfect little heaven here on earth. And let me tell you, whatever you create and whatever you make, it is like a sewer pit compared to where we're going. Okay? So, if you're with me in Colossians, would you say amen? Amen. Colossians chapter 3, the Bible says, if you then, in verse 1, be risen with Christ, seek those things which are, what's that next word? Above. Where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Altogether, let's read verse 2. Ready? Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. The purpose of starting off with verses like this instead of a verse about heaven is because we have to try and deprogram the way we are often thinking most of our lives. We have to get a glimpse of heaven and get a grip of God's Word. We have to recalibrate our understanding, if you will. Readjust our thinking. Realign our hearts. See, who's got your heart this morning? Whoever has your heart has you. And if something in this world has your heart, a thing, a bank account, a job, a child, a spouse, if one of those things has your heart, that can be taken away from you and you can become very unhappy and bitter. But you know what can never be taken away from us as believers? Heaven. It's our home. It's where we should long to be. The text says, look at it carefully, we are to set our desires, our affections, the things that we want more than anything else. Our mindset is not to be toward this world or earth, but on that which is what? Set your affection on things, what's the word? Above. Above. Up. High. Way high. You say, how high? Well, if you keep coming back to hear this series on heaven, I'm going to talk to you about that. But for this morning, so that we don't get ahead of ourselves, so that we lay a strong foundation, I want you to write this down. Believers need to cultivate a heavenly mindset. A heavenly mindset. I'm going to be the first to tell you, your pastor struggles with this sometimes. Just look to your neighbor and say, I struggle with a heavenly mindset. Do it right now. Tell him, say, I struggle with a heavenly mindset. I struggle. It's true. We all do. When you think about heaven, it's hard to comprehend it. We hear of streets of gold. The pearly gates. How many talk about the pearly gates, right? A river of life. We know there's no sun there. Because God is that light. We hear about a new heaven and a new earth. We wonder about, are animals going to be there? Well, the dogs will, but not the cats. Okay? I'm sorry to have to tell you that. Actually, that's not true. Just so you know, there's going to be a big cat there. Bible talks about lions, okay? And there's horses. You say, so does my pet die? Does Fido go to heaven? Fido's not going to heaven. I hate to break it to you. He doesn't have a soul. He's not created for eternity, okay? The animals that are in heaven are already there. They're waiting on us to get there. God's not going to be like, oh yeah, we need some puppies. Boom. No, it's not going to happen. It's not working like that. Some of you are thinking, will I be married in heaven? You will not. Some of you are like, yes. but you will know each other in heaven, okay? You will know each other. You're not going to be like, did we have a thing down here? Because you look so familiar to me right now. Will I have to stand in line to talk to Jesus? How will I recognize other Bible characters? These thoughts, they're just endless. I mean, they just go on and on. I could have just wrote a page of just questions I had. I was like, what about that? You don't even want to know what I wrote, okay? I guess I do. Well, if you come back, you might get to hear some of it, all right? Here's the thing, though. Long before we answer those questions, we have to ask ourselves this question. Do I even think about heaven on a weekly basis? Am I even thinking about heaven? This week, how much time did the thought of heaven enter into my processor? Did it even contemplate for a second heaven? Do you understand that everything, everybody say everything. Everything that truly matters to us for all of eternity will be and is currently in heaven. Everything. So I want to share with you what's in heaven and why thinking about heaven and eternity should impact the way we live right now, all right? Number one, our Father is in heaven. Not your earthly father, maybe he is, maybe he was a believer, but our Father, God the Father, Abba Father, Daddy in the Greek. Our Father, God the Creator of the universe, is in heaven. The Lord's Prayer says, our Father who what? Art in heaven. That is one verse of hundreds of verses that make reference to the fact that God's eternal home, His dwelling place, is in the heavens, far above us. In a real sense, church, the one who is the source of everything for us, God Himself is there. That's why on Wednesday night when I was preaching through the book of Jude, and we're still there by the way, I talked about the fact that God is coming back to judge the world. That's what makes when God comes back to judge such an incredible thing, that God's going to come to earth and judge. You read the Bible, you don't find God coming to judge. He usually sends something or someone. But when He comes to judge this world, God's coming. And God's in heaven right now. Our Father, the Creator, the Sustainer, the One who knows every single thought, He is in heaven. Number two, our Savior is in heaven. Our Savior's in heaven. Hebrews chapter 9 says, for Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven, what? Itself. Now to appear in the presence of God for us. Jesus, on the right hand of the Father, sits in glory, sits in heaven, ever making, the Bible says, intercession for us. Interceding on your behalf and my behalf. Our Savior, Christ, the one who died and rose again and bought us with His blood, is residing right now in heaven. That's where He is. Number three, the saints are in heaven. The saints. Hebrews 12 reminds us that the saints are there. And not just Bible saints, but those who have known Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and who have died have gone on to be with Him in glory. I want to share this with you because I think it's so true. The younger you are, the less you tend to think about heaven. It's a statistical fact. But the older you get, here's what happened. People that you love dearly and deeply have died. That's not to say that when you're young you don't have loved ones that have gone on. It just means that as you get older, friends and family and loved ones that you have known and come to enjoy spending time with and fellowship with, they're gone and they're in heaven. And suddenly, heaven actually becomes sweeter to you. You start talking about heaven. You start thinking about heaven. Heaven often means more to us when people that we know personally are there waiting for us. Yesterday, my wife and I went and spent some time with a family in our church. I asked Wednesday night for prayer for Bill Bainey. He's a member of our church. Many of you may not be very familiar with him. He's been sickly, and they were in Ohio for a little while, so some of you didn't probably get the chance to connect with him. Bill was often in the parking lot parking cars. Bill died on the operating table on Thursday. He did not make it. And they had a small gathering Saturday at the funeral home, and Angela and I went, and there was a few other members there. And it was a stark reminder again, as I walked into the funeral home, and there was Bill's body in the casket. And I don't know where you're at with all of this, and I don't know how you line this up in your thinking, but every time I see a body, and I walk over there, and I looked at Bill, I looked at him, and the first thought that came to my mind is, that's not Bill. That's just Bill's body. Bill's not gone. He's just gone ahead. And while we're here, as I talk to the family, we pray, we're here grieving, we're here missing him, we're wishing he could be here, we long for him, we want to hug him, we want to shake his hand, we want to talk to him. We can't do that, but you know what? Bill just had the best weekend of his life. Okay? And so he's not coming back, all right? He doesn't want to come back. In fact, he's probably like, you sorry jokers, you don't know what you're missing, man. This is awesome up here. Saints are in heaven. People we love. People we've lost. The saints. They're in heaven. And they're waiting for us, the Bible says, with great anticipation. So God's in heaven. Savior's in heaven. Saints are in heaven. It's going to get better now. If it could get better. Our names are written in heaven. Our names are written in heaven. We are reminded about the fact that when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, our names are forever written down. There's this awesome dialogue that occurs in the Gospel of Luke where Jesus is having a conversation with the disciples, and he says to the disciples, all right, now listen, I'm going to give you some special power, and you're going to be able to take up a serpent and step on a scorpion. By the way, that power is not for us today. So how do you know? Go ahead and step on a scorpion and take up a serpent. Let me know how that goes for you. All right? It was apostolic power given for a short window of time that was used to display the power of Jesus Christ in the disciples so that those who did not believe, the non-believing Jew, would accept. All right? So Jesus said, listen, I'm going to give you this limited power and you're going to be able to do all of these things. And they were like, yeah. It's in the Greek. You can't see that. But they were excited about it. You say, how do you know? Because in Luke chapter 10, verse 20, and I'm just lifting this out now so you understand. I just want to drop a verse on the screen and you'll be like, well, anybody could do that. Understand now why this is being spoken. Luke 10, 20 says, notwithstanding, Jesus speaking to the disciples, he just told them, you're going to get this power. He says, notwithstanding in this, what does he tell them to do? He's like, don't let this get y'all excited. Don't let this fire you up. That the spirits are subject to you, but notice the text, rather rejoice. Why, Jesus? Because your names are written in heaven. He said, if you want to get excited, don't be excited that you can pick up a snake. He's like, your names are written in heaven. Let that fire you up. You know what the word rejoice means? To be happy. Some of you have got to find a smile. Like you're going to heaven till your face. Seriously. Jesus is like, I just gave you power. And they're like, yeah. He's like, don't get excited about that. Get excited about the fact that God the Father penned your name down in eternal ink. And it's written in heaven. And when you get there and the roll is called up yonder and the books are open and his finger is going down and he stops and he says, oh, Todd, Michael, Adams, your name is here. Hallelujah. I'm getting in. I'm getting in. And you know what that means? If my name's written down, that means I have a title deed to some property there. You say, why? Because number four, we're citizens. We're citizens of heaven. That's where our citizenship is. That's where we belong. Okay? How many of you are making payments on your house right now? Right? You're not making payments in heaven. Amen? Why? Because that house, that eternal home, that eternal heaven, Jesus bought and paid that for you. And so when you get there, he's going to be like, hey, check this out. Look what I have for you. According to Philippians 3:20, the Bible says we are citizens of heaven. And here's what I want to tell us this morning. And don't misunderstand what I'm fixing to say now, okay? Listen carefully. I want you to understand this. We don't really belong here. That's why I put the slogan of the church, a place where you belong, because we belong in church. We belong together. Amen? Okay? But in earth, this really isn't our final place. Our citizenship is in heaven. By the way, how many of you are more city people than country people? Can I see your hands? How many of you are country people than city people? All right, I got bad news for you. The Bible describes heaven as a city. Okay, so if you like living in the country and being off all by yourself, all secluded, I'm sorry, but we're going to the big house in town, okay? You need to understand that. God's not sticking us out in some country bumpkin place in a little shack and you're going to sit on a rocking chair and sit in heaven and strum a harp on a cloud. Okay, that's not happening. And just take that idea, throw it out. It's theologically incorrect. There is a new city coming down. We're going to dwell in the city, okay? Everybody say amen. Amen. You're like, can I hunt and fish? No. It's done, all right? It's over. Like, that's why I'm going to do it in this life. Whatever, okay? We're all headed to the city, just so you know. By the way, more on that later, okay? More on that later. We are citizens of heaven. Heaven is our home, and this is awesome. And this is the part that I just was like, blows your mind here. Our inheritance is in heaven. Amen? Our inheritance. How many of you are kind of waiting on the phone call for your rich uncle to die, right? Some of you are like, that's so awful you said that, Pastor. I know. But some of us are. We're just waiting, like, well, when they die, I'm getting a load of money, man. Life's going to be sweet. I'm waiting for my settlement, waiting for my pension, waiting for my back pay, whatever you're waiting for, okay? It's monopoly money compared to what God has waiting for you, okay? It's worthless. Peter says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto what kind of hope? And how did we get there? By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Check this out. To an inheritance. Let's say it together. Incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away. Get this. Reserved in heaven for what? You. Delayed gratification. You don't get it now. You don't get it now. You say, why? Because God knows you wouldn't do right with it. You know, your currency that you have, it's pointless now. It's not going to do anything up there. And we're not just talking about when you get to heaven, you'll just have this treasure chest full of money and you'll be like, ha ha, finally. No, no. Let me just break it to you this way. You don't need any money in heaven. What do you need money for? You don't need it. See, our inheritance, yes, there's eternal riches, but our inheritance is something far greater than we could ever imagine or understand. And it's waiting on us. It's reserved. It's set aside specifically with your name written on it. What we have waiting for us in heaven, I believe this with all of my heart, and we're going to see this as we go through this series, is unlike anything we have down here. You say, how's that, Pastor? Look at the text. Because it never gets old. It never fades away. And it never wears out. I don't care what you buy down in this world, what you possess, what you make payments on, what you're spending your money on. It's going to get old. It's going to get faded away. And it's going to wear out. And it's going to end up at a garage sale. That new thing you're wearing, you're like, this is so nice. Somebody else is going to look at that and go, what were you thinking? That is terrible. That is awful. It's going. It's going. When we get to heaven, though, Peter said, incorruptible, undefiled. We're going to talk about that word later, not today, but undefiled, never touched by human hands. Isn't that phenomenal? Nothing human hands, nothing sin tainted. The Bible says it never fades away. Isn't that what Jesus said? Don't store up your treasures down here, but store them up where? Up there where moth and rust and thieves don't get their grimy little paws and mitts on it. And then our eternal reward is in heaven. It's never ending. Do you get that? That's what the statement is. It's not just an inheritance. It's just eternal reward. And the Bible is clear that our reward awaiting us in heaven is eternal. Our treasure is in heaven. And if that's the case, then Jesus said, where your treasure is, what? It's where your heart is. Everything that we should love and cherish is there. Everything truly valuable is there. Everything eternal is located there. But here's the deal. It often seems we spend our lives indulging ourselves and thinking and living for everything that is here and that will eventually be destroyed. The old hymn writer, Fanny Crosby, she summed it up well. She said, "Take the world, but give me Jesus. All its joys are but a name, but His love abideth ever through eternal years the same. Take the world, but give me Jesus, sweetest comfort of my soul. With my Savior watching o'er me, I can sing though billows roll. Take the world, but give me Jesus. Let me view His constant smile. Then throughout my pilgrim journey, light will cheer me all the while." You know the chorus. Oh, the height and depth of mercy. Oh, the length and breadth of love. Oh, the fullness of redemption. Pledge of endless life above. And then she says this, and I love this. "Take the world, but give me Jesus. In His cross my trust shall be. Till with clearer, brighter vision, face to face, my Lord I see." You see, believing in heaven will be demonstrated by how we live. Believing in heaven will be demonstrated. Because if I said to you, "Do you guys all believe in heaven?" What would we all say? Yeah. But how do we demonstrate that? Well, John, in the book of 1 John, the John who was burned in oil and cast on the desert island of Patmos, who had a vision of what was to come in the book of Revelation, in 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, he wrote this: "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. And if any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's in the world, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, it's not of the Father, but it's what, church?" Now get this, get it well. If you highlight anything in your Bible, you ought to highlight this. "And the world passeth away." And he puts this in there under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. "And the lust thereof," the longing desire to have things of this world, that's going too. "But he that doeth the will of God," what? "Abides forever." You listen to people talk today. You listen to Christians talk today. We're not talking about heaven. We're talking about everything but heaven. And I got to get this, and I want to have this. Most churches, they're not even preaching on heaven. Most songs being sung in church are not about heaven. People don't long and hope for heaven. In fact, most people don't want to go to heaven until they've had their fill of all that this world has to offer. And then when they're too sick or too old or too exhausted, then their minds start thinking about eternity. And oh God, don't send me to heaven yet. Don't come back for your people just yet. I want to go to the Bahamas and I want to buy that car and I want to go on vacation. Heaven, yes, Lord, but not now. And that's how we live. That's how the Church of Jesus Christ in many respects today is living. Oh yeah, I want to go to heaven, but just hold on. I got other things I want to do. I want to spend my money on all of these other things. I don't want to invest in eternity. I don't want to invest in missions. I don't want to invest in the church. I want to invest in me and my retirement and everything else. And I want my grandkids and their great-grandkids to have a perfect little heaven here on earth. And maybe when they die, you know, it'll be okay. No relief of the suffering of the people who are hurting. You know, just us here now, right this minute. And heaven, yeah, that's great. John said, "You love the world? That's what you love? Then the love of the Father's non-existent in you. You can't have both." And more, I've come to realize this, And I see some of this in my own life sometimes, that many of God's people are in a love affair with the world. And we don't want to admit it. We don't want to talk about it. We don't want to discuss it. Just let somebody do this to you. Let somebody say, hey, can I borrow your phone? Hey, can I borrow your car? Why? Hey, can you help me with... We've just got our arms wrapped around all of our stuff, don't we? Most of us as parents, we're having a baby dedication. You know, most of us as parents, we're not praying that our kids grow up and go to the mission field. We're not praying that. We're not on our face saying, God, let them be the next Hudson Taylor. We're not praying that. We want them right here, right next to us, in our own little heaven that we've created for them. We're not saying, God, let my children burn for your glory. We're not saying that. We're saying, let them go to college and get a nice job and get a good education. Make lots of money. Make mom and daddy proud. We're not praying that. Most church members, we're not parting with our money for missions. Or somebody else can do that. I got bills, man. See, thinking about and learning about heaven should change the way we live. Should change the way we think. We should become filled with the joy, listen, with the joy of anticipation that the grip that this world has on us starts to loosen. And we start realizing it's not about this life. It's not about all the stuff. It's not about all the things. We often get so tied up and under control of the influence of the things of this world instead of laying up treasures and looking forward with great anticipation to the day when we finally get there. One of my first pastors, Pastor Rick Stuckey, still pastors in Georgia, his favorite song, he found out that my son had joined the army and he called me. We were talking and he's much older than I am, and he reminded me, we had a little conversation, it wasn't long, but his favorite song was this song called It Will Be Worth It All When We See Christ. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of His dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. You know, you can't see Jesus in heaven the way you should when you've got so much stuff in front of your view of it. Friends, heaven's a real place. But not everybody who says they're going there is. And those who are going there are not talking about it enough. I don't normally do this, but as we close, if you want to, go with me to 2 Corinthians. And I don't have the verses on the screen. I threw this in for extra today. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, to be precise. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. The church at Corinth was troubled, caught up in this life, caught up in the things of this life. Paul wrote to remind them. For the which cause, he says, we faint not. But though our outward man perish, verse 16 of 2 Corinthians 4, yet the inward man is renewed. How? Day by day. For our light affliction is but for a moment. It worketh for us a far more exceeding weight and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen. Did you catch that? But at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Listen to what he says in chapter 5, verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Look at verse 2. For in this we what? We groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with the house which is from heaven. Paul said there should be a groaning, a yearning. I don't want to be here anymore. This world has nothing for me. who encourage us today that all of the trouble and all of the toil that we face in this life, it's a pinprick compared to all the glory that awaits us in the next. No matter what you're facing, no matter what trouble or pain or sorrow or hardship or death or difficulty or sickness or issue that you're dealing with, as a believer, we have a home in heaven. Amen? John Quincy Adams, you may know him. When he was close to dying, somebody came to him and they said, "How are you doing?" Here's what he said. "John Quincy Adams is well, sir. Very well." As he laid in his chair near death, he then said this, pointing to himself, "The house that he has been living in is dilapidated and old, and he has received word from its maker that he must soon vacate. But John Quincy Adams is well, sir. Oh, he's very well." Why could he say that? Because heaven was his home, and he knew where he was going. And he realized this, that when our course is set for heaven, we live life with hope and joy. Is your course set for heaven? Are you living life with hope and joy? You know what's awaiting you?
Thank you again for listening to this audio sermon. We pray that it has been a blessing to you. For more sermons or if you have any questions, log on to www.fbcbelong.com.